Hi, my name's Mackenzie, and thank you for joining us tonight for another episode of Social Work Now. Today we sit down with Anne-Marie, who's a special education teacher of over 30 years, and she has worked closely with her school's social worker to best fulfill the needs of their students. Tonight we sit down and talk about her experience working with these students, their families, and other staff within the school setting. She can offer us a great insight into the teamwork that's necessary to make a difference and the ways to address mental health issues in school. Hey, Anne-Marie, thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Do you want to start off by telling us a little bit about your background in special education?
Sure. This is my 32nd year as a special education teacher. I've worked primarily in the middle school setting. My first year I was in an elementary school and high school, and then the rest of my career has been spent in middle school working with 7th and 8th graders.
Okay, so as we know, you work very closely with the school social worker and the other staff, like the guidance office and things like that. Can you tell us how you collaborate in your work with them and what that relationship's like?
Sure. Often it's part of my students' IEP for them to see the social worker to get counseling services. So when it is a mandated service for my students, I collaborate with our school social worker to determine when it fits best in the student's schedule to see our social worker. We meet as a team, the team being myself, the science, social studies, math, and English teacher. So we meet every day for a period, during a class period, during our team time. Our students are off in their specials. So our social worker comes to our team meeting once out of our 6-day cycle to talk about all the students on our team that she sees, which, again, also includes my students. So she gives us feedback. Of course, she keeps things confidential, but shares, asks us how we see the student doing in the classroom and if we have any concerns. And then, again, keeping things confidential, but also lets us know how things are going from her end. Our students who maybe have some social emotional needs, some counseling needs, but maybe not to the degree of the kids who need to have it mandated, see our guidance counselor. Then if we feel as though it's something that needs to be on a more regular basis or with our social worker, then we do refer them to our social worker.
Right, absolutely. And I think that that's something that's very important. I think the issues of dealing with and treating kids with mental health issues in the school setting and, you know, outside the school setting, I think it's a collaborative process. And I think that it takes more than one person to get the job done and to monitor the children in all the different settings that, you know, they might find themselves in throughout the school day and throughout the school week, whether that be at home in a separate private agency, you know, working with the guidance counselors and things like that. Obviously with all these different aspects, I can assume that there's some challenging aspects of the jobs. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Over the course of my career, I have definitely seen children, and we talk about this a lot in our team meetings, kids coming in with diagnosis and mental health diagnosis, and just, you know, many more mental health needs than ever before. And this does impact their ability to be successful in the classroom and just with their peers. And for some kids, even being able to walk into the door of our school building every day. For the first 12 weeks of this school year, I just gave it up because of some other commitments, but was home teaching a girl in social studies. She hasn't been to school except for the first couple days due to some social anxieties and, some other issues. This is a very bright girl. She's not one of my special ed students, but she's in, you know, advanced classes, a high 90 student, but due to her some mental health issues that I guess cropped up over the summer, we weren't really given a lot of information, but has not been able to participate in, you know, 8th grade this year. We see a lot of kids on medication. We see a lot more kids again, with mental health diagnoses, a lot of kids and, you know, receiving services, counseling services, either by themselves or with their family at outside agencies. You know, a lot of kids having to go to our school nurse, you know, to get their medications and so forth. So, it does impact their school day and their ability sometimes to learn and be productive members, productive students, productive members of our middle school.
Absolutely. And I think that's something, I think there's two aspects of it. I think there's the aspect that a lot of times children are overdiagnosed and are over-medicated. And then I think a lot of times mental health problems that students face, especially those in the middle school setting, you know, it's a time of transition for them, and they're going through puberty and they're going through social changes and mental changes and physical and emotional changes. And sometimes, you know, these things that are very important that may be indicators to clinical depression or, you know, severe anxiety, especially when it comes to social anxiety. I think that those are sometimes overlooked and just written off as a teenager, you know, acting out because they can't control their hormones. So I think it's really important for us as human services workers to recognize those issues that arise and you know, give them the value that they deserve and try to address them head on before writing it off as something that it's not. So obviously with the challenges that come with this job, there are also many rewarding aspects. What can you think of one specific time that you had an aha moment with a student, or, you know, some of the more rewarding aspects of what you do?
I guess I would say one time at the district that I'm at now, one of my earliest years there, I had a student who was on paper diagnosed as having a learning disability, and I just knew that that it was something more, and I felt strongly that he was on the autism spectrum, and we were not, as educators, we are not allowed to diagnose that. But like I said, I felt strongly about that, and through several conversations between myself and our school psychologist and our director of special education and his parents, we were able to get him placed in a program. He was very bright, but again, just struggling in our very traditional setting. We were able to get him properly diagnosed and get him in a setting that was called Oak Tree, so that he could be successful and get all the services and counseling and things that he needed. And he was able to graduate from high school, with honors in an alternative setting, and then go on to our local, community college. So I just always, he was one student that I always felt, you know, good about, because I just knew that he wasn't going to be able to be happy or successful, in our setting until he had the correct diagnosis.
Right. And that's great. And I think that's important, like I mentioned before, that it is so important to get these different points of views, because in my previous interview with Mary Beth, I was speaking to her on the medical, you know, the medical aspect and the medical point of view that she can bring to it. And she was talking about how sometimes side effects from either your diagnoses of maybe anxiety or depression or things like that, and or the medicines that you're taking can manifest themselves in somatic ways, and you can get a stomach ache or a headache that you think is just because they had too much sugar or they didn't get enough sleep, when really it's an indicator of something greater. So I think getting those different points of view, and everybody works together, like a special education teacher is going to have a different point of view and a different outlook and look at the way a child is acting differently than a school social worker and a guidance counselor and a school nurse teacher are. So I think that's something that's really important. And we are running towards the end of our time. So I just finally would like to ask you if there's any resources or recommendations you could give to the listeners who may be dealing with any situations like this with their own children.
I think just as a parent, it's good to have good communication with your children's teacher. If they are, most middle school or most elementary schools have social workers now. Bigger elementary schools have guidance counselors. Know that, in my opinion, people go into the field of education and working with children because we do care about your child even during those times when your child is struggling. So open, honest communication is, you know, is vital. You know, even the school principal, even if there do happen to be disciplinary issues surrounding whatever struggles your child might be having, that good communication with the school and knowing that we are an ally and an advocate for your child too, is crucial. And just, you know, trying to take care of things sooner than later, is important.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for being on the show tonight, and thank you for all the wonderful insight and the resources that you provided with us tonight for our listeners. That's all the time we have, so tune in next time for another episode of Social Work Now. Thank you.
Thank you.